Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com and now on canvr.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar, known for delivering solar excellence since 1984 and recently voted best solar company in Marin County. We're also brought to you by Terzo, an authentic upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. Today's guest is John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle, but first, let's learn more about our sponsors. Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website, www.terzosf.com, for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs. Jones goes back near the wall, shading the sun, and he dropped it. He lost the ball in the sun. Let's put the sun to good use at home with a SunPower residential solar system. Your SunPower elite dealer, Sun First Solar, has a wide range of financing options, and they provide the finest customer service from start to finish, regardless of size or scope. Sun First Solar offers the highest efficiency systems, newest technology, and the best warranty in the world. Sun First Solar offers the most competitive price while not compromising on quality. This summer, let the sun heat your pool and eliminate your energy bill. Don't drop the ball. Call Sun First Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. And get your SunPower solar system today. 1954 was a very good year. Before the Orange and Black moved out west, their New York predecessors won the World Series that season. That same year, Mitchell & Mitchell Insurance Agency started helping dentists with their life and disability insurance. Eventually, they expanded to all lines of insurance for small to mid-sized businesses. Now, Mitchell & Mitchell has 6 locations throughout California offering all lines of insurance. They even do financial planning. So call them today at 888-512-8878. That's 888-512-8878. Mitchell & Mitchell Insurance Agency. Today we chat with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle, our regular guest, in part one of a two-part conversation. Well, John, the Giants, they had that slow start, and they're just trying to break out of it in Kansas City and then Colorado on this road trip. And they're doing the first part of this road trip without their skipper, Bruce Bochy. He had a heart procedure, and he's been through this before. It's definitely scary when you hear about something like this, and you know that the stress that a major league manager goes through, and any head coach in any sport or manager, just they're going through so much throughout a season, and this is early in the season, and so you have a little bit of concern about Boch. What are your thoughts about his mindset, coming through this, and if should he be taking more time than just the Kansas City series, because we know that they're targeting for him to come back in Colorado.
Yeah, in Colorado, those are never 2-hour games either. Those go on forever.
Those are stressful.
And
yeah,
they're stressful. It's 12-9 in the third inning.
Right.
So it's a mess. But it brought me back to the story I wrote on the eve of the season opener, in which I had a sit down with Bruce, and I talked about longevity, and I talked about health, and I talked about what he plans to do, because he's only 62. Right?
Yeah.
He's been around baseball forever. But the contract extension he signed a couple of years ago, it's just beginning. This is the first of 3 years. So he's really signed through 2019. I mean, he could walk away anytime he pleases, you know, next step Hall of Fame. But he really digs this. He especially wants to manage a winner. Something interesting he told me, he said, as long as he thinks the Giants have a chance to win, he's going to keep managing through this contract. So in other words, if you look around, he wouldn't be managing the A's. You know, he wouldn't be managing some of these teams that are kind of destined for a sub 500 record. He's in it because he wants another ring, and that's sort of what drives him. He said as much, and he said he's fine. He said he's still got his A game. He said he heard from longtime managers like Tony La Russa and Jim Leland, both of whom said that you'll know when it's time to go. You'll be told by yourself, whether it's mentally or physically, that it's time to go. You know, you remember La Russa and Leland, you know, both kind of left on their own terms from different jobs, and they were good and prominent enough to do so. But in Bochy's case, it'll be the same thing, but it'll be on his terms, and it'll be whether he'll know or not, mentally or physically. Well, now we have a physical issue, and it's the third in 3 years in terms of heart-related issues, and the abnormal heart rhythm is something that he's had. And this is a grind. This is 162 games. It's 6 months. You could say other sports are a grind. That's, you know, obviously football coaches never sleep, even though it's one game a week. But this is a game a day. This is the stress and, seven a week, and over 6 months, plus a month and a half of spring training in Arizona, plus maybe a month in the postseason. This sport just never goes away. And even in the off season with the winter meetings and the constant communication with roster development and tweaking and trades and free agent signings. And, you know, Bochy, unlike some other teams, is pretty involved in the decision-making process throughout the year. And so, yeah, I would say, like you said, hey, look, give them Colorado off. You know, let's see at the homestand next time around, because, you know, this is not a thing you deal with. As Buster Posey said, in Kansas City, you know, baseball comes a distant second or third or fourth, whatever it is, on the list of priorities. And, you know, life and health sort of up there. And, you know, the priority, apparently, Bochy's wife wouldn't mind him stepping away. But, you know, for now, he's in it for the long term. And he's determined to, you know, get this team into the postseason.
Well, if there's one area of a baseball team, John, that can really stress you out and affect your health, you would think it would be bullpen issues. And of course, last year, I mean, Bochy might have aged a few more years just the way things were going with all the blown saves, the way the season ended. You know, you look at the Mark Melancon acquisition and you say, okay, you know, does that solve every problem? Well, maybe not. I mean, opening day, you know, they blow it there and Melancon blows a save there. But, you know, he's been okay since. The rest of the bullpen, maybe still suspect. I mean, they did a really good job Tuesday in Kansas City. But, you know, the overall bullpen as a whole, you wonder how that's going to affect him, the entire team, throughout the year.
Yeah, a really slow start. And, you know, the thing about Melancon, even in the wake of the postseason in which closers were used in different roles, multiple innings, high-stress moments of games, etc., Melancon told me in spring training he pretty much wants to pitch the ninth and the ninth inning only. And that sort of goes away from modern thinking of using your closer maybe in an inning, a third inning, two-thirds, two innings, or even in the eighth if the 3-4-5 is coming up. And maybe somebody else closes it in the ninth. But with him, he's groomed and primed to be a ninth inning specialist only. So what does that mean? That means the rest of the bullpen, they have the seventh, eighth, and sixth, and fifth, and everything else. They're not going to get any help from the closer in an eighth inning situation. You know, do they have the manpower to keep this going? Well, they struggled pretty badly in the first week, and they've picked it up lately, like you said, Tuesday, with the four shutout innings in relief. Melancon kind of a rough final inning, but he did get the save after giving up a couple of hits. And it hasn't been smooth for him, and it usually is. They got him to have smooth ninth innings. But without Lopez, without Romo, without Casilla, and Affelt retired the year before, all those guys with all those rings suddenly gone, and now George Contos with the most seniority in the bullpen. He and Melanson are the two oldest guys. So it's really up to, you know, Steve Okert and Guerin and these guys who, you know, are just up for a year, 2 years, whatever it is, and they're going to have to prove themselves over 6 months. Strickland. So it's been okay lately, but it would be nice for them to figure out the exact roles. I think Law might be a future closer. I think he's really good in terms of eighth inning work. But can he do it over 6 months? It's he produces a lot of ground balls. He gets guys hitting into double plays, and that's pretty crucial in the eighth inning. But so I mean, you look across the bay at Oakland, and their bullpen depth is so different. You know, they have Mattson and they have Casilla now. Casilla's been doing very well, a couple of saves. Axford and Doolittle and Dahl, and these guys much more experienced than most of the Giants bullpen minus Melanson, and you know that helps with the rough patch in the seventh, eighth inning, ninth inning, and what they can do in Oakland that they can't do in San Francisco is kind of be interchangeable, because all those guys have been closers in the past. They're all capable of late inning situations, but the Giants, I think, really have to figure out their roles a little bit more than they do now.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I look at it and I say that they have the arms. I mean, these guys are talented enough to do it. It is about the consistency, like you say. And if they get into those roles and they're consistent, then it can all work out. But, I mean, you have to do it over the long haul. You got to prove it. And I just wonder, John, if it's in the back of their minds that the names you mentioned, the guys who won those rings, they're constantly asked about that. How much do you miss, you know, Affelt and Lopez and all that? And then just you guys had the most blown saves last year. So much of anything in sports is mental, but especially bullpen. You come into a game with the bases loaded. You got to get out of the jam. It's all about, you know, how do you feel? What is your confidence? Can you do it? And I don't know that they have been able to, you know, overcome the hurdles that exist there.
Well, Bochy was a genius in 10, 12, and 14, not just because of the rotation, but because of the deep bullpens. And he could go anytime to pretty much anybody. Well, last year he wasn't a genius anymore because he didn't have the bullpen. And the moves he might have made in the past, you know, just didn't work out. In fact, he was kind of forced to make moves last year that he might not have made in previous years, maybe stretching a starter a little longer because he didn't have faith in a reliever, things like that. And it just blew up in the end in that division series. So they get Melanson, you know, and the thing is, I think they needed one more guy. They needed one more veteran, proven. Setup guys are not expensive. And if they could have just spent a couple of million, two, three, and picked up a guy to be reliable, and not only that, but just kind of hang with some of these young relievers. Melanson is new. He's got the big contract. But in terms of grooming these setup guys, Melanson's not a setup guy. And if they just brought in a guy with some experience in his 30s who's been there and done that and maybe served as somewhat of a role model and calming influence for some of these young relievers, I think that would have been a better way to go.
Well, there might have been that veteran guy who could have been in the bullpen if things weren't working out for him in the rotation. And I'm talking about Matt Cain. I mean, he could have been a relief pitcher here, but he is starting to say, you know what, I can pitch. I mean, look what he did Tuesday. I can start and be a part of this rotation still, even though, you know, I think a lot of the fan base was saying, oh, you know, bring up Tyler Beede. You know, what about Ty Block and all that? So do you think, you know, was this just sort of a flash in the pan effort here by Cain, or has he found something maybe that he can continue to use the rest of the year?
Well, you would think he possibly found something. Here's a guy that you remember Zito didn't have much velocity ever, but when he came to San Francisco, it was even down further. And Lincecum, of course, lost the velocity and was really never the same. He produced well in the postseason as a reliever, kind of a super situational guy. And, you know, same thing happens to Cain. Lincecum, you know, didn't have the arm surgeries that Cain did, but Cain lost a lot of miles per hour on the fastball from mid-90s to low 90s or even high 80s. And it's been a long work in progress to figure out how to win and how to get outs with subpar stuff. Not subpar stuff, but sub-velocity, you know, compared to his track record. And, it's about hitting spots, and it's about locating the fastball and being a little better with the pinpoint control and trying to fool guys more instead of just blow it by you. And that seemed to happen in Kansas City. I mean, two starts ago, we were thinking that if he didn't get this done, it might have been his last start as a Giant. And then suddenly he puts five innings together, and then this game he puts seven innings together. And suddenly you're saying, well, okay. And they had to go with him at the end of spring because of the contract. He got outpitched by Ty Block. Everybody knows that. Block probably deserved it, but Kane's contract called for him to get that last opportunity, because the last year of a contract, 20-plus million, and big buyout and everything. So they went with him, and now it seems to be paying off. Whether it does over the long haul, I don't know, but he's a guy you could skip. He's a guy you could say, well, five innings is fine. I mean, you know, number five starter, stereotype. But again, if they can find somebody better and Kane is struggling in May and June, I'm sure they will. They're not going to go on with his struggles forever. But at the same time, I think the last two starts by him have shown that maybe he is able to win and get outs with the 88, 90, 91 miles per hour.
Yeah, I think Barry Zito kind of proved where, you know, if you're counted out, you might still be able to help the team. I mean, even look at CC Sabathia with the Yankees, where his velocity has dropped way down, but he's figuring out ways to win games now.
Yeah, no, CC's a good example. And, you know, we still haven't heard from Lincecum. There was talk, through the agent in spring training and beforehand that he still wanted to pitch, but obviously either he didn't believe he was good enough to show some of these teams what he has, or these teams just don't believe that he's able to, you know, come back. It's been so many years since he was a real effective big league pitcher. And remember last year he ended up in the Angels farm system. And so some people can do it and some people can't. And, the jury's still out on whether Kane can.
Let's finish up this podcast by talking about left field, because it seems like that's going to be a conversation that lasts the entire season. But, you know, in spring training, you looked at it, and it began with it's going to be a competition between Jarrett Parker and Mack Williamson. Turns out Williamson gets hurt. Parker wins that job with Chris Marrero, who was, you know, kind of a surprise because he hadn't done much in the major leagues, but he had hit a lot of home runs there in Scottsdale in the Cactus League, but he is not getting it done right now. Parker got hurt after he made that great catch last weekend. I mean, that was awful to see him in so much pain. So now what do you do? I mean, you have Melvin Upton Jr., who they signed, and they're going to have him at AAA. They could make an aggressive move and end up going with Christian Arroyo, where I don't know that they put him in the outfield or that they put Nunez out there. There's a lot of ways to think about this, John, and I don't know that the Giants are going to make some kind of, you know, move as far as making a trade. Where do you see this going? Because they definitely have to upgrade in left field.
Well, like the bullpen situation, you know, I said this before the season, that it would have been nice if they got some kind of setup guy to fall back on, experienced reliever. Same thing with left field, you know, a guy to fall back on, experienced veteran left fielder. And they didn't really do that except for some minor league, signings, including Morse, things like that. But they got tons of options. None of them come to the forefront as the obvious one. They can keep going with Marrero. He's just hitting a buck and a half. Nice story the other day in San Francisco, first major league home run. You know, they have Melvin Upton Jr. in extended spring training, and Drew Stubbs, a couple [S2] Right. [S1] Of veterans they have. And they have all kinds of ways to go here. They could put Posey at first and Belton left. They could call Christian Arroyo up, put him in third and put Nunez in left, or simply put Christian Arroyo in left. You have Aaron Hill and you know, down on the farm, you have Austin Slater. Kelby Tomlinson has been valuable, you know, a couple of years ago anyway. Like I said, Morse, Mac Williamson is hurt, and Gorkys Hernandez just hasn't proven to be the, you know, the next Gregor Blanco. Did I mention Adam Duvall hit a grand slam for the Reds on Monday?
Too bad he isn't here, right? Yeah.
Giants outfielder who they gave up on.
Yeah.
Bruce Jenkins wrote a nice piece this week, you know, the lack of outfielders they've had since Chili Davis, who was their last outfielder that they actually drafted and signed and developed. I mean, since then, the best have been with Nate Scherholz and Marvin Bednarik. So it's really been, you know, you can say all you want about your homegrown catcher, homegrown infield, and all the rotation and relief guys they've had from the farm system, but they just haven't cut it in the outfield. So they're really hoping that this situation with Parker and maybe Williamson would do the trick this year, and it's not really happening. So I guess, I mean, if I were to say, what would I do now? I would probably do one of two things. Either, and you know, Upton I think is an extended spring. I'm not sure. You know, he might be, you know, days or weeks away. I'm not sure, but it'd be nice to see him up here, throw him out there every day. You know, he's a 2020 guy, strikes out a lot. You know, into his 30s now, maybe not a high average, but he'll play some defense out there, and that might be a solid guy to have. Or even better yet, I'm not sure about this Posey situation. Maybe play him at first. And just put Belt in left field for a month. I wouldn't mind that.
And that's why you got Nick Hundley, and because it's something like this where he can play more than, you know, maybe you would have had another backup catcher play.
And Christian Arroyo, hey, you know what? He's hitting, you know, 400, 440, 450 in Triple-A, but this is his first real case there. He's playing all around the diamond, second, short, and third. He's their number one, you know, hitting prospect. And it's you know, sometimes teams are hesitant to bring up their top prospect, especially because now their arbitration clock would begin. Sometimes they like to wait till late May so they get that extra year
right
before free agency so they can keep them around a little longer.
That's part one of our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Join us again on Friday for part two. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com.